Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. Not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. The gospel of the kingdom, Zechariah 2:5. But I declares the Lord will be a wall of fire to her on all sides, and I'll be the glory in her midst. This week, we witnessed as Republicans in Washington, D.C. refused to fine and censure Adam Schiff. Now, it is supposed to come back. The movement here in America, the awakening here in America, this idea that we need to show evil some kind of mercy is totally unfounded and wrong. I'm not talking about people who are seeking the Lord, who you may have some disagreements with. I'm talking about real, intentional, lying, deception, evil. This idea we need to be nice, not only is it foolhardy, it's also unbiblical. We're not supposed to allow evil to run rampant in the land. Now, some people are caught under normalcy bias right now. Some people I really respect, they're caught under normalcy bias right now. The idea that things will continue the way they always have continued, the idea that we can continue to fight inside of the system and everybody's going to fight with honor. Well, I'm sorry to break it to all of you, but that is out the window. And guys like Anatoly Golitsyn predicted this. But first, God wants this evil to be exposed so it can be dealt with, not the evil exposed so it just continues on. God wants the evil to be exposed so it can be dealt with. And that should give us great hope. It should give us great encouragement. We have an opportunity here like we never have in our lifetime. And I personally believe that God has put each one of us here for that exact reason to act. So, with that idea in mind, take a moment right now, wherever you're at, you're driving, you have the chance, pull over, pull up Patriot Radio on your favorite social media site, start with Rumble, and comment and share this show right now. We have had a ton of people that have been sharing this show, and now it is getting out there. And it is beginning to change the way that very, well, influential people anyway, see the world. So help, because it'll help your family. It'll help your friends. It'll help your community. Take a moment right now. Comment on the show and share it. You can do it on Rumble, Facebook. It's all over the place. And Twitter as well. Gab, MeWe. Virtually every social media site. We are back on Truth Social, by the way. That was a mistake from a bot program they have trying to ferret out bots. And for some reason, we got flagged. I guess we're posting so much good information. All right. I want to go next to Anatoly Golitsyn before we queue up a video from just a week ago that I think everybody here is going to find pretty interesting. But first, Anatoly Golitsyn wrote in New Lies for Old. Now, Anatoly Golitsyn is one of the most important defectors from the former Soviet Union to the West. Anatoly Golitsyn was a strategic planner for the KGB. Here's what he said. He said, "The strategy of strengthening the communist bloc while presenting an appearance of communist disunity is neatly expressed in Sun Tzu's aphorisms. All warfare is based on deception. Therefore, when capable, feign incapacity. When active, inactivity." Offer the enemy a bait to lure him in, feign disorder, and strike him. One who wishes to appear to be weak in order to make his enemy arrogant must be extremely strong. Only then can he feign weakness. And this is Anatoly Golitsyn, quote, "To be credible and effective, a deception should accord as far as possible with the hopes and expectations of those it is intended to deceive," end quote. This is an important principle to understand. And yes, the communists studied Sun Tzu. And by the way, this was written decades ago. But when you hear deception and it's like, oh, it's reinforcing my own narrative, then you can be deceived. So be very careful from everything you're hearing out of Ukraine, everything you're hearing out of China, Taiwan, especially if it accords with your own expectations, because some of it is being written to do exactly that, to deceive you. So when we talk about China, we talk about Russia, we need to understand this very clearly. And that brings us next to this video from a week ago. Absolutely fantastic. And it's very short. Go ahead.
They've studied their attack profile and what they're doing at every angle to bring down civilization, cutting off the energy, dissolving the borders, creating race war. Their next moves will be cyber attacks and power outages.
Globalists are going to cut our power off and say the Russians did it. It might be, oh, hackers took down a part of the power grid.
How many times have I said they're going to blow the power grid up and say Trump supporters did it?
Well, tonight, the nation's intelligence agencies are warning of cyber threats from Russia and are urging U.S. critical infrastructure defenses to be reinforced.
Homeland Security is warning of a potential troubling escalation in tactics from right-wing extremists.
It wouldn't take much to throw the entire country into darkness.
We've seen the FBI say the number one terror threat is domestic right-wingers.
Specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
They've now defined it as fascism if you support President Trump.
What do you mean by semi-fascism?
You know what I mean.
Fascist. All right, now go ahead and cut it. What you are seeing right now is a prediction from Alex Jones just a week ago that there would be cyber attacks in the United States of America. And yesterday, a warning that, quote, the U.S. should brace for aggressive sabotage by Chinese hackers, top cybersecurity official says. This was in the Epoch Times, and sure enough, just today, a global cyber attack hits multiple U.S. federal government agencies, and that attack has been going on actually for some time. So, this brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. Now, we're going to get to a couple of really good things at the end. Stay with me on this, but you need to know what's going on. First of all, from the globalist front, the UN's vision of the future, an apex body and digital ID to rule us all. We can trust the United Nations, of course. The common agenda of protecting all of us is coming to us from Technocracy News, that it should be, quote, the apex body, end quote, in charge of the entire financial system. It will enhance its coherence and alignment in priorities with the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. No thank you. And just say no to digital ID. We're going to have these articles up there on the site if you want to check them out later. Also, on the globalist front, welcome to the CDC's Elite Epidemic Intelligence Services. This is coming to us also from Technocracy News. The CDC has a quasi-secret equivalent of the CIA. But for diseases, because we need more law enforcement power to the people who lied to us for years. Okay, yeah, that doesn't work either. And the very interesting part about this is that they are trying to make this seem like a heroic thing when it's just another expansion of power in preparation for the next pandemic. And you heard that correctly. They're already preparing for the next one. That brings us to China. Coming to us from Open Source Intelligence on Twitter, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Japan is in talks to provide artillery shells to the United States in order to increase stockpiles, not just for the Pacific, but also for Ukraine's counteroffensive. Huh. Okay. That brings us next also to Palau. Palau has requested the U.S. increase naval patrols in its waters after multiple incursions by Chinese vessels into its exclusive economic zone. They are going to welcome an increased U.S. military presence in that country. And by the way, Palau has a security agreement with the United States, again, coming to us from open source intelligence. So things ramping up pretty dramatically in the Pacific. By the way, there is a massive expansion of bases going on very quietly in the island chains in the Pacific as well. Seems like everybody out there knows that there's going to be war with China in the very, very near future. That brings us next to the Middle East. And a couple of things that I think are very important with this. One is we reported on Patriot Radio right after this happened of who this likely was. And I'm not saying I told you so, but we were very, very accurate on this. Okay, but I'm going to get to that here in a second. First, coming to us from Debka File, alleged Israeli airstrikes near Damascus hit pro-Iranian militia warehouses. So what's happening right now in the Middle East is the Israelis are trying to take out the supply bases of the Iranian militias and the Iranian proxies prior to a war with Iran. That's what this is all about. That brings us next to Yahoo News. Iran, Cuba vow to confront U.S. aggressive imperial policy. So not only is there a now admitted base of the Chinese in Cuba, a listening post, and probably a whole bunch more, Iran and Cuba are coming together. So what that means is that what happens in the Middle East is going to have a direct effect on the United States right off our shores. Would not be surprised if we don't see Iranian ships, Chinese ships docking in Cuba in the very near future as a show of force. And that brings us to what I was just talking about that we accurately called, coming to us from Robert Spencer on Twitter, the Christian who supposedly stabbed those children in that horrific attack on a playground in France turns out to be a Muslim man named Selwan Majd. And we called it. First of all, a lesson out of this is do not take the mainstream media's narrative when they start calling people Christian, when they start calling people, you know, white nationalists and all this other garbage, as Alex Jones was talking about, and that guy has been right more often than, I mean, it's scary. Don't take it for granted that they're telling the truth. In fact, most often they're not. And what they're trying to do is, again, a communist destabilization tactic that we've been talking about here for the last few weeks. First outlined by Yuri Bezmenov, another defector from the Soviet Union, a former member of Izvestia, the disinformation arm of the Soviets. And what they want to do is divide all of us into thinking everybody else in America is an enemy. Don't fall for that narrative. Be very accurate. You see the video of Antifa rioting? Antifa is an enemy of this country and an enemy of free peoples, an enemy of this republic. But when they start demonizing Christians and doing these false flags, like this was a false flag, pay attention. Don't immediately jump on any kind of bandwagon unless it's people you trust and they've done the research on this stuff. And it was very clear from the outset that this was a Muslim attack, a jihadi attack. That brings us next to Russia-Ukraine. Coming to us from Open Source Intelligence, NATO member nations are currently engaged in working on a long-term plan of support for Ukraine. The nations are hoping to finalize a framework that helps assure Ukraine's security until it can join NATO at some point in the future. This will include potentially NATO countries putting troops on the ground in Ukraine if there aren't the requisite security commitments to Ukraine at this upcoming NATO meeting in Vilnius. So, what we see with this, just so I can break this down for you, what we see with this is basically it's a foregone conclusion, this is what's going to happen, and we're being slowly dragged into this world war. On the heels of that, also coming to us from Open Source Intelligence, Russia has announced elections in the newly annexed territories it has taken from Ukraine for September 10th. These elections will be to elect local governors in Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporozhye, and Kherson. Well, they still don't control all of those. So this is, again, an interesting show. And it's also interesting they're doing it this coming September. It seems like something's going to be culminating this fall. That brings us back to the National Front in the United States of America. After the Epoch Times talked about bracing for aggressive cyber attacks, now we have these cyber attacks happening in the United States of America. We're seeing something interesting. Traditional allies now, because of the instability in the United States of America, are beginning to flee. And so open source intelligence, French President Emmanuel Macron has asked South African president for an invitation to the upcoming BRICS summit. So in other words, the French want to attend the BRICS? I'm sorry, but the French leadership over there is horrible, and the French people know it. And they need to change that very, very quickly. This is a direct result of the instability we're seeing here. And I would expect these cyber attacks to continue. More attempts at destabilization here in the United States of America. Which brings us to the next thing that is also very clear, that it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, but we're reporting on it anyway. Gateway Pundit, explosive. Halderman report released in Georgia confirms vote can be altered through defective Dominion voting machines. Raffensperger hid this from the public. All right, I'm just going to say this again. Report released in Georgia confirms votes can be altered through defective Dominion voting machines. That's the title. So what are we doing to get away from electronic voting machines that people are refusing to allow to be in any way accounted for, audited? We can't even audit the code. And now we have this explosive report out of Georgia. We're going to post that online. I see this as an intentional attempt to allow, at the very least, allow for a weakness in our voting mechanisms in the United States of America. If we know that these things can be compromised, why are we even putting that on the table as a possible place of exploitation? It makes no sense at all. And no one here, even locally in Spokane, can really answer that question. Why won't you let the code be audited? Why? Why won't you let results be compared? Especially with duplicated ballots. Why? Why can't there be true and meaningful accountability in the election system? Is that because there's something there to find? Well, we won't know unless there is accountability, true and meaningful auditing. Or we just take the better road and we ban electronic voting in its entirety and go back to in-person voting with ID. That brings us to some of the good things that are happening out there. Coming to us from the Western Journal. I love this. Okay, so Tanner Charles is a storm chaser, and he was heading right toward a Category 4 EF4 tornado, wind speeds of 166, 200 miles an hour. And as he was headed toward this tornado near the rural farm community of Hedrick, Iowa, he realized that this was a once-in-a-lifetime moment to actually be there to catch it. But then he realized also that that tornado was headed toward the town. And here is what happened. At one point, he cried out to heaven on camera as he saw the storm approaching a town and said, quote, "God, please spare this town," end quote. What he found was that God answered his prayers, and a particular family was saved. And it's interesting. He said, "Oh my gosh," he prayed aloud, "Lord, please, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they be okay, that they're all right. In the name of Jesus, amen. And as he drove closer to that wreckage of the house, and he repeated that prayer, the house's roof ripped off, the walls falling down, he found Clarence and Nancy Sanders in one piece. And that's our miracle story for today. Absolutely fantastic. God answers prayers, even in our day, and especially in our day. That brings us also to another fascinating video glorifying Jesus Christ. And it involves a sport that I'm not super fond of. I mean, I've played it before. Softball. But check out this really cool take. And it's just a lesson for all of us. Take the opportunity that you're given to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Go ahead and cue the video.
Alex Scarborough with ESPN. For the players, I know you talk about keeping the joy of the game, but I'm curious. It's a long season, right? And you guys have had the target on your back the entire time, the win streak being number one. How do you handle the unique pressure that comes with that? How do you keep the joy for so long when anxiety seems like a thing that can very easily set in?
Well, the only way that you can have a joy that doesn't fade away is from the Lord. And any other type of joy is actually happiness that comes from circumstances and outcomes. I think Coach has said this before, but joy from the Lord is really the only thing that can keep you motivated, just in a good mindset, no matter the outcomes. Thankfully, we've had a lot of success this year, but if it was the other way around, joy from the Lord is the only thing that can keep you embracing those memories, moments, friendships, and all of that. So that's really the only answer to that, because there's no other way that softball can bring you that, because of how much failure comes in it and just how much of a roller coaster the game can be.
So there's an important lesson here with this, that no matter if it's good times or bad, we're supposed to be even keel, and God's holding us in the palm of his hand, and our joy should flow from the Lord. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful picture of that. And notice he started with, you guys have had a target on your back all year. Don't many of us as conservatives in the United States feel like that right now? Don't many of us as Christians feel like that right now? All right, go ahead. Continue.
1,000% agree with Grace Lyons. I went through that my freshman year. I was so happy to win the college. I've talked about this before, but I was just so happy that we won the College World Series, but I didn't feel joy. I didn't know what to do the next day. I didn't know what to do for that following week. I didn't feel filled, and I had to find Christ in that. And I think that is what makes our team so strong, is that we're not afraid to lose, because if it's not the end of the world if we do lose. Yes, obviously we've worked our butts off to be here and we want to win, but it's not the end of the world, because our life is in Christ, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think a huge thing that we've really just latched onto is eyes up. And you guys see us doing this and pointing up, but we're really like fixing our eyes on Christ. And that's something where, like they were saying, you can't find a fulfillment in an outcome, whether it's good or bad. And I think that's why we're so steady in what we do, and our love for each other and our love for the game, because we know this game is giving us the opportunity to glorify God.
And could you imagine if the NBA said that? Anybody in the NBA said that, or pro football, instead of taking a knee and denigrating the country and stepping on the graves of the dead veterans who bought their freedom in blood. Could you imagine if people actually glorified God in sports like these wonderful ladies? Keep going.
I just think, once we figured that out and that was our purpose and everyone was all in with that, it's really changed so much for us. And I mean, I know myself, I've seen so much of a growth in myself with once I turned to Jesus and I realized how he had changed my outlook on life, not just softball, but understanding how much I have to live for, and that's living to exemplify the kingdom. And I think that brings so much freedom. And I'm sure everyone's story is similar, but we all have those great testimonies that have really like shown how awesome it is to play for something bigger. And I think that's just what brings me so much joy. And no matter the outcome, whether we get a trophy in the end or not, this isn't our home. And I think that's what's amazing about it is we have so much more. We have an eternity of joy with our Father, and I'm so excited about that. And yes, I live in the moment, but I know this isn't my home. And no matter what, my sisters in Christ will be there with me in the end when we're with our King. So,
do you think ESPN thought this was going to happen when they asked these questions? I'm guessing not, but what a wonderful testimony and what a wonderful way to glorify Jesus Christ right in front of millions on ESPN. Great job, ladies. That's fantastic. In fact, we should try to see if we could get one of them on as a guest. What a great video. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Take a moment right now and share Patriot Radio. Hit like. Comment. Take a moment also and go on Rumble tonight and subscribe to Patriot Radio. We're trying to get off of YouTube and some of these other platforms that are censoring us and bump up the show. So please, please subscribe to Rumble. Share that with your friends and family. Now, I want to also share some upcoming events. First of all, coming up next week, Wednesday, 6 p.m., right here at On Fire Ministries, 115 East Pacific. Sean Foyt is going to be here, a night of worship and revival. And what I just love about Sean is he just has a passion to bring everybody together under one banner, the banner of Jesus Christ. In fact, we're going to actually, if we have time at the end of the show, play that video. And you can see it in the background right now. We want to see, regardless of denomination, let's unite under the banner that we can agree on, and that is the banner of Jesus Christ. And let's unite at the Capitol on July 28th. So the purpose of this meeting and this revival and worship next week with Sean Foyt is going to be to rally everybody so that July 28th is, in fact, what's it shaping up to be, a historic event. We're expecting 20,000 people at the Capitol in Olympia, Washington. 20,000, July 28th. If you at all possible can, I want you to take the day off. Come join us in Olympia. It's a Friday. You don't even have to wake up early on Saturday morning. Come join us in Olympia, Washington, as we bring the love and the light of Jesus Christ to one of the darkest places in the state. July 28th, 6 p.m. at the Olympia Capitol. So next week, the 21st, 6 p.m. right here at On Fire Ministries, and July 28th, 6 p.m. in Olympia. All right, it is beyond, I think, incredible that right now in this time that we're in, that we have been given the grace, the opportunity to be able to go and stand like that. Now, there's some people out there, I saw it recently regarding the rally down there for President Trump. Oh, you know, don't go. It could be a setup. And listen, at some point, we have got to stop being afraid and peaceably stand, petition for a redress of grievances, assemble together in power. And believe me, 20,000 plus people at the Capitol in Olympia is going to send a message to stop the persecution of Christians here in the United States, to stop the smearing and the lies against people who love this country and who also happen to be Christian. So do we love our nation? Yes, of course we love it. We don't make it an idol. We love our country. It's been the greatest force for good in modern times. And that is historic fact. But that doesn't need to turn into an epithet. In fact, the only people that could try to turn that into an epithet are those who hate this country, those who want to undermine this country, those who are working with the communists and jihadis and the globalists to undermine this country. And that is on both sides of the aisle, as we have seen recently. So when you hear this, you know, events like this, don't be afraid to come. Stand with people. I mean, Sean's been doing this all over the country. But there's something special about the Northwest. There's something God is bringing together here. in the Northwest that it's igniting a fire. It's emboldening people around the nation to also stand. And in fact, there is a great video series from Family Research Council called Prepare to Stand. Pastor who is in prison in Turkey gives a great testimony, but also practical steps of preparing to face down Christian persecution, even here in this country, and how to effectively stand at the local level. And that is what we have to all be doing. Or do you want to, as we started the show off with, live in a UN vision of the future where they are the apex body and there is a digital identification to control everyone? In fact, the UN High Secretary or the UN Secretary General's high-level panel on digital cooperation said this, quote, "A digital ID can help unlock new opportunities, but can also introduce new risks and challenges. They can be used to undermine human rights." They even admit it. For example, by enabling civil society to be targeted or select groups to be excluded from social benefits. End quote. They admit where this is headed. And by the way, that was in 2019. Digital technologies, and this is a policy brief, a global digital compact, digital technologies are accelerating the concentration of economic power in an ever smaller group of elites and companies. So once again, they're admitting where this is coming from. This is all coming to us from Technocracy News, UN's vision of the future. So if we don't want that vision of the future, I implore all of you, show up July 28th, Olympia, Washington, 6 p.m. Take the day off, show up early, and be part of this historic event. It's an event that will be remembered. What happened after? What happened before? And I know all of you want to stand on that line with me and the rest of the Patriots here in this great area of the country. And that brings us now to another great Patriot, Glenn Tate, attorney and author of the popular book series 299 Days. He's a longtime Washington resident, but he now is a political refugee in Montana. Now, I love 299 Days because it's based on real people, but it is fiction. But it brings in the human nature aspect and also the real people aspect, actual people and how they were talking behind closed doors, and most importantly, how to recover from a crisis or better yet, even prevent it. And by the way, yours truly is in the series. 299days.com. Glenn Tate, it is great to have you back on Patriot Radio again. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. It is all so good to be on your show. I love your listeners. I love talking to you. And let's get right into it and give the listeners what they came here for, which is some great conversation.
Absolutely. So we're gonna roll a video right now from Alex Jones. Now, everybody has an opinion on Alex Jones, but the fact is he's been right on a lot of different things.
Minds at the top of projects today. You know, imminent. Trump's calling for violence. Trump's calling for...
I've studied their attack profile and what they're doing at every angle to bring down civilization, cutting off the energy, dissolving the borders, creating race war. Their next moves will be cyber attacks and power outages.
Globalists are going to cut our power off and say the Russians did it. It might be, hackers took down a part of the power grid. How many times have I said they're going to blow the power grid up and say Trump supporters did it?
Well, tonight, the nation's intelligence agency...
Well, today, actually, we should say, cyber attacks rock the federal government here in the United States of America, and I suspect it was beyond that, and it's been going on for a few days now. Glenn Tate, what say you?
Cyber attacks are a very real threat. I'm not sure that I can be in the Alex Jones camp based on some other things, but I mean, a stop clock is right twice a day, as they say. That for Gen Z and millennials is a reference to an analog clock, and I'm just kidding. But anyway, no, I think that cyber attacks are entirely possible, quite honestly. And by cyber attacks, they go on every day, but I mean ones that could cripple this country. Quite honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. I guess God is sparing us for a little bit more time. It would obviously be catastrophic. And, you know, I don't know who would do it. In a lot of ways, it doesn't matter who would do it. If the government tried to blame Donald Trump supporters, then it would matter because the government would take actions against Trump people. So that would matter. But it's in a lot of ways, unless the internet gets turned back on, and presumably it would, I don't know. I mean, that's above my pay grade. But for that period of time, we would be absolutely helpless, and people would be shocked to realize how dependent they are on the internet. And this isn't just a problem for people that, you know, watch TikTok videos on their phone. By the way, we don't do that in Montana. We passed a law against TikTok. Thank God.
Thank God.
This isn't the Move to Montana show. So I'll keep my comments about the greatness of Montana to a minimum. But, it's not just stuff like that. I mean, obviously all the supply, the logistics systems, the utilities, water treatment, everything you can imagine. I mean, the just-in-time inventory systems we have in this country, for example, for medical supplies, they didn't want to build hospitals so that they had big storage rooms because every square foot of space cost so much money. So they have a day's worth, roughly, of medical supplies. There might be a couple days worth of other things, but by and large, it's no more than a week's worth of supplies. And so all that ordering and all that shipping and delivery relies on the internet. It would be absolutely catastrophic. And that's the technical, physical side of the problem. The real problem is the human side of the problem. And I'm trying not to generalize and stereotype, but I must say this younger generation, the latest episode, by the way, of the Prepping 2.0 podcast that my wife Shelby and I do is called Gen Z's and Millennials in the Collapse. And we talk about how, again, huge generalization, there are tons of great young people out there. I would say anyone listening to this show, if you're a Gen Z or millennial person, you're probably really, really squared away. So please understand I'm generalizing about 90 million people. But I think the younger crowd in particular would freak out, for lack of a better term. They would lose their minds, and not just because they didn't have TikTok. They would, for the first time, not be able to just, you know, text their mom and dad and say, swing by Costco and get me some Hot Pockets, and then they would have Hot Pockets in their microwave 4 hours later. The amount of convenience and luxury, it's completely luxurious. No other people have ever lived like this, like we live now, with the ability to have anything at our fingertips for relatively inexpensive amounts of money. So when they freak out, that's when human beings start doing really nasty, terrible, weird things. And they are highly susceptible to suggestion. And there could be a strong man nationally, or it could be regionally even, that would say, I'm going to get you your Hot Pockets and TikTok back, but you need to do what I say. I'm oversimplifying, but it makes the point pretty well. And that is what really terrifies me. And it would be catastrophic. I mean, in a lot of ways, the United States has completely changed. One of the slogans that the characters, the good guys, in 299 days spray paint on stuff is, I miss America. And we already miss America. Everyone listening to this show misses America. But it's going to be even worse if there's something like a cyber attack. You absolutely must prepare for this. And the best way to do it is the very simple, practical, straightforward, obvious stuff. It's stock up on food, have a water supply. Remember, water is something that'll kill you within 3 days. And something that's never really mentioned about water supply is the fact that dying of dehydration is an agonizing and brutal, horrible death. And I'm going to use guilt because it's very effective. I'm going to say to the parents and grandparents listening to this show, do you want to watch your kids and or grandkids die an agonizing death of dehydration when you could, for very little money, a couple bucks, get some water treatment pills, get some storage containers? You don't have to, you know, have a 5,000-gallon underground tank. We did a show, episode 92, of Prepping 2.0 on water and went through the whole beginning to end system. It is a system of physical water and treatment and storage and security for yourself. When you're out hauling water, people see that you have water and they don't have water. You know, you're going to need some protection. So anyway, there are so many very simple things to do. I know you talk about this all the time on your show. People need to get kicked into gear, and they need to understand these are very real things. Just because they haven't happened doesn't mean they won't. It snows in Montana, and here in June it's not snowing, although the cottonwood trees, the cotton they're giving off, it kind of looks like snow, but that's not really snow. But it would be crazy for someone to say here in the middle of June, oh, it hasn't snowed in a week, so it's probably not going to snow. It's going to snow eventually, and you can't fool yourself with your normalcy bias that everything's hunky-dory like it is right now. So I think that the cyber attack threat is one of the very most realistic and catastrophic threats that we face in this country.
I completely agree. And in fact, you know, having Jack Decker on here a few weeks ago, he talked about once again the idea that we could, you know, we could see a nuclear weapon detonated on U.S. soil, followed up by a cyber attack or an EMP attack, as some sort of an attempt to catastrophically hamstring this country and the republic. And, you know, the idea is not far-fetched because the Chinese and the Russians both have written it into their military doctrine. So if you could comment a little bit on that and also this kind of likelihood, it seems like we're speeding towards some culminating event here in the next year or two.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as Russian and Chinese doctrine, you're exactly right. It is written into their military doctrine, and the term doctrine, for those unfamiliar with it, just basically means official strategy and plan. It's right in there. They're big fans of asymmetric warfare, and the classic example of asymmetric warfare is a box cutter. It cost about a dollar, and it led to catastrophic destruction. For relatively small amounts of money, they could have people, you know, come across our wide open southern border. I understand that apprehensions of Chinese and Afghan nationals at the southern border is up something like 1,000% from some recent period. So, I mean, there's a big surge of that. I mean, there's a million ways to get all this bad stuff, if you want to talk about nuclear weapons, into the country. And it's what they've said they'll do. Why spend money on a bunch of tanks and airplanes that somehow have to get over the Pacific and Atlantic oceans to come hurt us, right? That's an impossible task. And we've seen in Ukraine that those Russian tanks can't take a hit very well. So, I mean, why go through all the traditional military spending when you could do something relatively inexpensive and similarly defeat your enemy? I think that 20, especially 30 years ago, if the Russians or Chinese or whoever, it doesn't really matter who, tried something like you're describing, I think the country would have absorbed it much, much better. But now we're so divided on purpose. We're so divided that the Gen Z and millennial freakout is something that applies to grownups, too. I think people would be susceptible to suggestion, and there will be strong men, and they'll be from, and some of them will be from the so-called right. Mm-hmm. Of course, the right is about liberty and is not about using racial and other differences, you know, against people. And it's not what we do. It's what the other side does. It's more of a fascist trick to the, and fascism really isn't the right anyway. We all know this, but so there could be some bad guys maybe that look kind of familiar to us now, and a bad guy is still a bad guy, and it would be very, very easy to do. And what was part two of your question? I'm not being a politician and not answering your question. I just forgot the second half.
Well, no, I mean, I think this is actually a great line to go down. You know, we have very clear things that we believe, in liberty for all. It's not limited by the color of your skin. It's not limited by where you grew up. It's liberty for all. The the interesting thing that I see coming, and you address this in your books, is that the Republican Party particularly, or the so-called conservatives, some of them are wolves in sheep's clothing. Some of them are saying things that they really don't either believe, or they're intentionally saying so that they can end up being the designated defeat mechanism, to use a quote by Rich Higgins, former strategic planner for the National Security Council, that they should be the designated defeat mechanism in ushering in this new totalitarian state being brought about by the communists and the jihadis and the globalists. So I want you to talk a little bit about that, actually. This, there are a lot of people out there who they talk a great game, but as you well know intimately, they're really not about that. So how can an average American figure out the truth about who somebody really is?
Boy, you kind of have to wait until they have to show their stripes. And I know that's too late, right? We can't polygraph politicians and find out if they're really bad guys and bad girls. So that's not practical. I have to say that, and this is going to be anticlimactic and probably disappointing to some listeners, I have to say that now that I've lived in Montana for 2 years, my attitude has changed. I don't see things as dark and as bleakly as I used to. Now, I still think a cyber attack nationally is entirely possible for all the reasons previously mentioned. I'm not saying we're out of the woods, but this is going to be controversial, but in Montana, I see the wolves in sheep's clothing being less of a problem because people here just wouldn't put up with it. Now, some of them would, you know, Missoula and Bozeman and Billings and Butte. I mean, there are tons of bad people are everywhere. But yes, there would be bad people everywhere, and it's hard to tell. Of course, the best defense against bad people is being armed and organized, and that's what the Second Amendment is all about. It's about defeating bad guys with guns. And let's pray it never comes to that. Amen. So I know I'm not exactly answering your question. I'm giving you the Montana curveball on all of this, but I don't carry a gun in Montana because I feel completely safe here. And I also know that 50% of the men around me are also carrying, so they can take care of business if I can. I know that's a terrible attitude to have, but in Washington State, I was armed all the time. So, but I guess the corollary of what I'm saying is in places like Washington State, blue states, you need to be even more vigilant about, you know, Republicans and so-called conservatives taking over, because I think it would be easier for Republicans in a blue state to get co-opted because they would look around them and see that they're completely outnumbered. Mm-hmm. And it would be sort of Vichy France, which was World War II when the Germans invaded. They had a puppet government called the Vichy government. And I could see Republicans in blue states, more likely in blue states, becoming Vichy puppets. And I think the communists would want to have a Republican figurehead as the one supposedly in charge, because it would allay concerns that people would have. They'd say, oh, you know, he or she's a Republican, so, you know, they're not going to do anything bad. That, of course, is one of the storylines in 299 days. It's probably what you're referring to. So be aware. Don't assume anybody is doing the right thing. Now, that being said, you're going to have to work with people. I could also see, to be quite honest, especially in blue areas, some law enforcement going rogue. I think the majority of law enforcement would not. I think the majority of law enforcement in a crisis will quit because they're not going to risk their families' lives to enforce bad things. I know for a fact that, because I have a lot of law enforcement friends, a lot of them, and they say that if they're ever given an order to confiscate firearms, they're simply going to walk away. One of them said, we did the math, and our life expectancy is about 72 hours, and we didn't sign up for that. So I don't mean to paint law enforcement with a completely bad brush. I think rural areas would be particularly susceptible to law enforcement going rogue because we out here are naturally more trusting of law enforcement. So you'd have to have some accountability mechanisms in there. That being said, most law enforcement in rural areas is probably going to be good. It probably makes sense to work with them. But don't cast your lot with politicians. You know, be above it and don't rely on politicians because, you know, no offense to a former politician, but, you know, politicians don't have a great track record, especially in crises.
Well, I think that that's the entire point, that sometimes, you know, you can see ahead of time just by the little things, the little failures to stand when things look a little bit tough. You know, you can, we saw that with Pence in Indiana, you know, vetoed a bill that would have protected Christians. Very easy thing to sign. He did not do it. And it was kind of just a precursor. So you can look for little things ahead of time and know. But ultimately, when we depend on leaders, that always is it's an event that is always going to fail because they're human. So we should be preparing at the local level. We should be doing what we can, not depending on leaders to save us or something like that, doing what we can to prepare. And that's where I kind of want to go next. What do you think people should be paying attention to in the preparedness realm, and what are you seeing?
Yeah, great question. Number one answer, first of all, you need to be right with God. God is in charge of this world, and you can have all the MREs and, you know, treated water you want, and if what you're doing is not God's will, it's not going to happen. So you need to be, that's the number one most important thing. But as far as material things go, the basics are what you need. You know, we just got an email from a listener of Prepping 2.0, and the short version of it is, he said, I'm done prepping. I spent all this money, I went hog wild, I went all in, and caused strains with my family, probably because of the financial stuff, and nothing bad has happened, and I'm giving up, and, you know, I'm done. And don't do that. So spiritual, and I don't mean that in the fuzzy New Age sense, you know, as a substitute for Christianity. But is number one, and then basic physical preps and motivation. A lot of these things that you need to do to make it through this, they don't cost any money. You know, it's mental. It's spiritual. It is being tough. It's being an American. I mean, we have cowboys. I mean, my short drive to work, I mean, there are actual cowboys and actual cattle in the fields. And we all need to have that cowboy and cowgirl, because cowgirls are tough too, mentality, and that adaptability and that will to live, that will to survive, and the will to save the Republic and bring it back and give it to our kids and our grandkids, understanding the stakes. And so those are, in my mind, the most important things to do. Everything else, the material side, is sort of a detail. A lot of things when it comes to prepping are comfort items. Now, very important comfort items. I really like, you know, sleeping on a bed as opposed to the ground. And I like toilets. I like a lot of stuff. And so I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a caveman or something like that. Comfort, you know, but it is sort of a comfort item. And if you prioritize the stuff you really need. And the other thing to do to make it through this is networks, local networks, people you know. And it doesn't have to be fancy. You don't need a secret handshake. In fact, if you have a secret handshake, I think you're kind of approaching this like it's some sort of comic book or something.
Right.
You need to have local networks of trusted people. It takes a long time to vet people and trust people. A fantastic place to meet people in your networks is church. Highly recommend it. You're around like-minded people. You get to know people in church, I mean, quicker and more deeply than I think you get to know other people. I know that our relation, we're a fantastic church here in Montana. Our relationship with people, it took off really quickly and is very deep. And so that's really important. So avoid what I call the buy it now approach to prepping, which is that button on Amazon where you can buy it now and you say, oh, I need to catch fish in a collapse for food. Buy it now. Here's a survival fishing kit. Okay, I checked that box. I bought something. So obviously it's taken care of. No, fishing requires a lot of time and a lot of skill and a lot of practice. And so just be very realistic and don't view it as the end of the world. Now, a crisis has a lot of very bad ramifications for liberty and for the country. I'm not saying collapses are good by any means, but it isn't the end of the world. And if we start living like our grandparents or perhaps great-grandparents lived, that's not the end of the world, because with the lifestyle our great-grandparents had was a much better republic, minus segregation, and there were some bad points. But I'm just saying, overall, things were a lot better in the past, and it wouldn't be the end of the world. It would be a rude awakening.
it would be, but it would get us back on track. Now, Glenn, we're out of time. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I really love everything you're doing. Keep up the fight. And 299days.com for everybody out there. And he's also the host of Prepping 2.0. So if you could plug that real quick.
You bet. My wife and I have a podcast. It is, if you don't mind me saying, I mean, you have a fantastic
We literally have 10 seconds. Go.
Prepping 2.0, which is at prepping2-0.com. If you like this show, you're going to love Prepping 2.0.
Thanks, Glenn Tate. This is Matt Shea. Thank you, everybody, for joining me today on Patriot Radio. God bless all of you. He is making this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight. The awakening is here. And make sure you show up on July 28th at the Capitol Olympia, or next Wednesday, or both, June 21st, right here at On Fire Ministries, 6 p.m. God bless you all. Thank you.